Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we've heard the hard words of Amos as he challenged the people of Israel. We've heard the question of the lawyer, and we ask ourselves at times, who is our neighbor? And yet you have told us in your word. You have given us examples to follow, words to live by. May we hear them as the truth. May we hear them as your word to us. In Christ's name we pray today. Amen. The winter of 2006-2007, an astonishing thing happened in New York City. A construction worker named Wesley Autzley was standing on a subway platform with his two daughters, ages 4 and 6, waiting on a train. Suddenly, another man on the platform, apparently suffering from a seizure, stumbled and fell off the platform down onto the subway tracks. Just at that moment, the headlights of a rapidly approaching train appeared in the subway tunnel. Acting quickly and with no thought for himself, Wesley jumped down into the tracks to rescue the stricken man by dragging him out of the way of the train. But he immediately realized the train was coming too fast and there wasn't time to pull the man off the tracks. So Wesley pressed the man into the hollowed-out space between the rails, spread his own body over him to protect him as the train passed over the two of them. The train cleared Wesley by mere inches, coming close enough to leave grease marks on his knit cap. When the train came to a halt, Wesley called up to the frightened onlookers on the platform, "There are two little girls up there. Let them know their daddy is okay." Now, some of us would say that he was very foolish to risk his life with his two daughters standing there. And there were those who said that there was no way that they could have done what he did. And they're good people. We look at situations like that, and it's easy to categorize people by how they react to situations. But the truth is, we cannot do that. Because we're not them. And in many ways, the parable of the Good Samaritan reminds us of this. There have been many sermons that have talked about our need to do more to reach out to our neighbors from this passage. Some of those have laid heavy guilt trips on the listeners. But the truth is, we all lead busy lives. Our minds are taken up with things and we're not aware always of what's happening around us. And we don't need preachers telling us that we need to do more. And if we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, I don't think Jesus is telling us we need to do more. At least in the way that we think. Jesus does not call the priest and the Levite bad people. He just says they pass by on the other side. Now, it's quite possible that they were on their way to perform their priestly or Levitical duties, and to touch the man, thinking maybe he was dead, would have defiled them, and then they could not have done their duty. And that was a serious thing for them. There may have been a reasonable explanation for why they passed by on the other side. Now, let's think about what set this parable up. This lawyer has come test Jesus, to ask Jesus what he might do to inherit eternal life. Jesus says, in his wonderful way of always answering a question with a question, what do the scriptures say? And the lawyer said, well, they say that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered rightly. Go do that. But the lawyer wanted to go a little further with that, and he says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus launches into the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who am I obligated to love and help? You see, the lawyer was thinking lawyer-like. I'm sorry, Ed, but he was thinking in terms of obligations. What am I legally obligated to do in this situation? Or spiritually obligated. Jesus responds then with this parable. And I think the big point of it is not that the Samaritan helped the man, but the abundant way that he did it. He didn't just give a man a cup of water and maybe cover him up or something and walk on. He picked the man up, put him on his donkey or whatever mode of travel he had, took him to the inn, fed him, cleaned him up, got him a place to sleep there at that inn, paid for it, and then he said to the guy, I'm coming, the innkeeper, I'll be back. You keep taking care of this man. If it costs more than what I've given you, I'll pay you the extra. Now, it's fairly obvious that the Samaritan was a man of some means. He could do this. And he saw this incident, this man, as an opportunity to use some of what he had to help someone who had a need. The Samaritan sees this as an invitation, while the lawyer saw it as an obligation, was looking for an obligation. And they're two very different things. The Samaritan sees this as an invitation to respond out of his abundance. And what Jesus is offering us in this story is an invitation to make a difference in someone else's life out of our own abundance. Now, please understand that we can have abundance in more things than just money and material possession. We can have an abundance of time. We can have an abundance of expertise in some area. We can have an abundance of compassion, an abundance of organizational skills. I just look around this congregation and I see all kinds of wonderful abundance that we have. I see Bob using his time to volunteer at the hospital. I see Joyce and Elsie back there volunteering and using their skills with the rescue squad. A number of you. The financial guru of Omaha, Warren Buffett, once said in a collection of observations that he remembers asking the question of how do you find friendship, which could be another word of neighbor. And he asked that question of a woman who had survived Auschwitz. And her reply was, would they hide me? Now, not everybody necessarily would be able to hide her. But that's what's incredible about people like Oskar Schindler, who responded to the invitation to hide people like this woman, out of the abundance of his compassion and out of the abundance of his factory where he had a lot of places that he could put people to work. But there are many small ways, day in and day out, that we are invited to respond from our abundance. As you drive, as in your commute, or as you ride the subway, or as you sit drinking your coffee, you can take time to contemplate, to think about, who can I help from my own abundance? But in order to do that, we need to constantly find ways to reflect on the abundance that we do have. Sarah Brewer of Dylan's blog says, it is so easy to reflect on all the bad in the world or in our lives that we lose sight of what we do have in the way of blessings and abundance. We need to take time to reflect on what we do have and the good things that have happened in our lives and in the world to build up our sense of abundance. Robert Maurer wrote in a book, One Small Step Can Change Your Life, The Cajun Way. It talks of how our brains work, how we're made. When we ask ourselves a particular question, he says, every day repeatedly, our mind becomes accustomed to gathering that information all the time, so it's there when we call for it. When we repeatedly remind ourselves of scarcity and ask ourselves, how can I get more? Our mind becomes conditioned for anxiety. Gathering constantly as a background process any information that could suggest scarcity, danger, ways in which we could be wrong. The more we worry, the more we see cause to worry. Now, if that is true, then the opposite has to be true. If we constantly ask ourselves what is right, what is good, and we see these in our lives day after day, then the world becomes a place of wonderful opportunities to experience God in our midst. When we see that, then we know we've got an abundance to work from and with. Let's go back to our opening story. If Wesley saw the place, the world, as a place of scarcity, of problems, do you think he would have or could have jumped down into the tracks to save the man? I don't think he could have or would have, even though he may have had the skills to do it, which he obviously had. He was pretty sure there was enough room in that depression between the tracks to allow him to put himself over the other man. So he had some skills in that area. A feeling of abundance helps us, allows us to hear the invitation to help our neighbor. Because the world, life is filled with God. And we're then able to respond to that invitation. So I encourage you each and every day to ask yourself, what good things have I seen or experienced today? Or you could ask, what blessings have I experienced today? And keep asking that day in and day out. Whose life is God extending you an invitation to be a part of? What can you offer them? May God bless each of us with an awareness of the abundance that we have been given.